Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey everyone, today I'm joined with Kayla Allen. She's an intuitive coach. She also specializes in Akashic record reading. I heard her on TikTok, and guys, her stories about how things work were mesmerizing, and I'm so glad to have her here. Welcome to the show, Kayla.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
I could not believe the intricacies of telling us how timelines and dimensions work on one of your videos, and I was glued. And that's when I got a hold of you. And I know you have deconstructed from religion. So tell me what started this, and we're going to go from there.
Yeah, I deconstructed from religion because I had a spiritual awakening. So in 2021, I just woke up one day and nothing that I had ever believed made sense. I felt like a raw nerve. Everything was just exposed. Wow. And at that time, I thought that I was like having some kind of psychotic episode, I'm going to be honest.
How could you not, when you're like, that's all you've ever known? What do you think triggered it?
I think God just said enough was enough, because I had been through the ringer for the majority of my life. I was diagnosed with severe bipolar disorder. And for the year before that, when COVID had hit, I had gone in and out of manic episodes the entire year. So one whole year of just up and down, up and down, up and down. And I think God was like, it's enough. It's enough. So he ripped that blindfold off. And in the beginning, I've just felt so overwhelmed with everything. And I realized my psychic gifts were coming in, and I didn't know that's what it was at the time. But then I just started hearing voices, and I started getting downloads. I call them downloads, but it's like understandings about
totally
things with no way of really knowing it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, because I could talk to my mom, as you know, and I know it's a download. It's a knowing. It's an instant knowing, as opposed to just this long. I say I have conversations with my mom, but it's truly just more about just a download.
Yes. And I got scared because, you know, I've been a Christian for 31 years, and I was talking to God about it because I've always felt a connection to God. It's like he's in my heart. Sure. I just can feel him in there. And I said, okay, you're the only thing that I still feel that's normal. I don't understand religion anymore. I don't know what it means, but I'm going to trust you, and I need you to guide me. And he told me, he's like, don't be afraid to explore. I'm never going to let you get too far. You need to ask questions. You need to explore. So go for it. And so my prayer became, don't let me get too far. If I get too far, pull me back. Good. And I spent about 3 years deconstructing from religion, exploring my gifts, exploring the spiritual realm as a whole. And I really made it like a study of my life, as if I was going to school for this. I was writing down everything, keeping detailed notes on what my experiences were. I jumped into learning tarot originally because I wanted a way to communicate, because I couldn't hear him in my head exactly yet in the beginning. So I used tarot as like structure, and I learned how to protect myself and cleanse with that. And then from there, I started learning how to kind of channel through my mind instead of using the cards. I launched professionally in 2024 as a psychic medium. And then it was like, once I did that, everything started evolving really quickly. I went from cards to just my mind, to energy healing, to the Akashics came in at like the end of 2024. And I just keep jumping, leaping higher and higher and higher and going with the flow. And it's been a beautiful journey. And now I've come back around full circle where I'm not religious, but God is the only one I really work with. He's the one I talk to. And even with my clients, that's who I'm conversing with. And it's been a beautiful journey. And I needed to go through the roundabout and see what all was in the spiritual realm to be able to work in the way that God wants me to work.
Wow. You know, it's funny because the near-death experiencers that I talk to, you know, they all say there's no religion on the other side. That's how I kind of knew about that. And they all pretty much say, we are all source. We are all part of source. We are source experiencing itself. Do you think that's true?
I do. I will say the distinction I have noticed is that God, source, whatever you call him, he is the one that knows everything, has all of the knowledge, has all of the wisdom, and he can be anywhere, everywhere at the same time.
But my thing is, too, I think he's curious and he wants Kayla's perspective. He wants Leslie's perspective. He wants all of our perspectives so he can evolve and we can evolve with him, because we are all like fragments of him, you know?
Yes. I kind of view it as like a jellyfish. So he's like the bubble top and we're the little tendrils that come down.
Right? Yeah. And you know what? When you said that your gifts kind of started blossoming. It sounds like you probably had some kind of gift already. You just maybe were afraid or didn't know.
1,000%. I look back now and, you know, I was married for 15 years. And when I was 16 years old, I found in a journal where I had been praying and I was writing to my future husband. And the letter J came through my head and I ended up marrying a Joseph and our marriage didn't work out. But I think it's interesting that that was a significant person in my life for 15 years, you know?
Well, absolutely. And you know, the thing is, I'm sure you wouldn't take it back because you wouldn't be where you are today had you not gone through that experience, don't you think?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it was a lot of rough lessons, but I wouldn't be here. I'm pretty sure that relationship probably is what even led me to my awakening. So
right.
I'm grateful for everything, even the bad.
Absolutely. Well, we have to get to the bad sometimes to get to the good. So in one of your videos, and we talked about this earlier, tell me what timelines and dimensions, do we want to just talk about both intertwinedly or do you want to just talk about, you know, how both work individually? Tell me what you think.
Well, there's actually three different layers. So I don't know if you saw the one about realms as well,
yes.
But there's timelines, dimensions, and realms.
Okay.
And the timelines, they're kind of like parallel, running next to each other. They are infinite. Like they're always creating more, always collapsing some. And we can jump through the timelines based on our emotional capacity, our frequency, and our thoughts at any time. So we shift our reality constantly. We don't even realize we're doing it. But people who get deja vu or they get dizzy out of nowhere, that means you've probably just shifted a timeline.
Wow.
And when we look back, you know, we've got something called the Mandela effect now, which is like, for instance, in the 90s, we had the Berenstain Bears, and now it's the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's jumping through timelines.
Yeah.
So we have that. We've got the timeline thing going on. And then we have dimensions, which is essentially, it's so hard to describe, but it's the frequencies. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like that's vertically stacked is the frequencies.
Right.
So this is a scientific thing. So this is quantum physics. Everything is operating or vibrating at a certain frequency. The atoms and the molecules are vibrating at certain frequencies.
Yeah.
When you are doing lower vibrational activities like drinking alcohol or gambling, the things that would be labeled as quote unquote sin from a biblical perspective, it pulls your vibrational frequency down. So you're in a lower realm of frequency. The earth is one of the lowest realms of frequency that we have. So the lowest dimensions. When you start experiencing higher dimensions, your consciousness, so the part of you that is conscious, is able to raise its frequency and go into higher dimensions, even while we're physically bound to the third dimension.
Okay.
So there's a couple dimensions below us, which is like the point of consciousness, the 1D, and then kind of the earth experiencing itself, which is the 2D. And then from there, you've got the 3D, which is the physical, but it's also a consciousness level. So you're aware of kind of your ego and the more difficult things in life. Mm. And then when we go into the 4D, we start to realize, wait, we're not this body. I'm not this meat suit here.
Right.
I'm a soul having a human experience. And then the 5D is where most people, when they start to expand their consciousness and they have an awakening, that's the 5D. That's where that starts. And it's basically realizing that we are one of Source's beings. You know, we're an extension of Source. And we can start to feel into realms. And you can go higher and higher and higher with the consciousness. When you get higher, you can tap into elemental beings. You can tap into angelics. You can tap into star seeds. And it just keeps going up. And at the very tippy top is where God and that consciousness exists. And then the realms is, you know, moving into those spaces to work with the beings that exist in each realm. So in like the celestial realm is where the angelics are. It's where God is. And the galactic realm is where kind of the star seeds are. And all of the galactic forces like the Galactic Federation and the Draconians and the Syrians and all those beings that we've heard about.
Yeah.
Where Bashar is. If you ever heard of Bashar.
Yes.
So it's interesting because the realms, some people can actually move through realms, which is something that I do, and we work in them. You know, when you go to sleep, if you do work in the astral realm, that's where you are at that time, battling, you know, entities or helping lost souls find their way to the other side. Now I'm going to sound really woo-woo for a lot of people, I'm sure, but there's an etheric realm, which just exists outside of our physical body, and it's the etheric blueprint of physical things. So we have wings sometimes, and they exist in the etheric realm. You can feel them on your body, but you can't see them because they're in a different realm.
Wow.
And it's fascinating. There's so many different layers that we don't even know about, but all three of those coincide. So timeline is what you're currently experiencing, the reality you're experiencing. Dimensions is the consciousness level that you're able to access. And realms is just basically different compartments for where things exist and how to access them.
Wow. Okay. See, guys, this is why I had her on. Okay. So, okay. So let's talk about like a Bigfoot or a Loch Ness monster. Are they in different dimensions or are they different realms? What's going on with that?
They are both. So remember, dimensions is only levels of consciousness. So it's like our understanding, our human brains being able to understand certain okay. levels of consciousness. So things like Bigfoot, they're very intelligent.
Yeah.
I would say they're probably up there with like galactic consciousness. Mm. So as far as dimensions, yes, they are able to access different dimensions. When they pop in and out of existence, like the reason they're so great at being hide and seek champions yeah. is because they walk into a different realm when they want to kind of get out of our realm. So they're able to just kind of blip in and out when yeah. they need to. I also have a theory that maybe there's wormholes hidden in certain realms in like forests and
like,
stuff.
Like
and that they just kind of jump
something.
In a wormhole. Yes, to other planets or yeah. to other galaxies. I really do believe that. And I think it just exists in a different realm that they're able to see it and we can't.
I totally agree with you there because I think that's kind of how the aliens are doing it too, maybe, right?
Okay.
Ooh, and I just got chills. That's always my confirmation. There you go, guys.
Right, right. Now, you talked about draconians and that they're not good. Now, I know there's so many different kinds of ETs. Like you said, the Syrians, there's the Anunnaki. Gosh, there's so many different kinds. But you specifically talked about the draconians. Is that something we need to be aware of on this Earth plane or what's going on with those?
So this is a tricky one. I didn't even know about the draconians until I went in and did an Akashic Records reading, and I just saw an entire war that was happening.
Oh.
And the thing about time is it's not linear.
Right.
So everything is happening all at once,
yeah.
but based on when you come into this world, it can be in the past to your consciousness. So where we are in our point of time today
yeah.
with our consciousness, the draconian war is in the past. So it's something that we can learn from, even though technically it's still happening, if that makes sense.
No, it makes sense because, you know, when Dolores Cannon was doing her work and she got a hold of Nostradamus and he said, listen, I'm in my time experiencing you in your time, but it's all happening right now. So I understand what you mean by that.
Perfect. Yes.
Yeah.
So the Draconian-Syrian war, we're still experiencing the effects of it. I mean, that's what trafficking is here on Earth. It is a direct byproduct of that intergalactic war that happened so long ago. But that's not something we need to fear. We don't need to fear the draconians. And I will say there's also a balance here that I've really been shown. Earth is a dual space. Like, it is polarized for a reason. We have darkness and light because it's something we wanted to experience as a consciousness.
I agree.
So
yeah.
the draconians and the Syrians, they're just an extension of that on like a global, or not a global, on a galactic scale.
Wow.
So it's something that we wanted to experience. And darkness isn't all bad. It's not all evil. Darkness just shows us where light needs healing.
Mm.
So essentially, light is the presence of everything that is, and darkness is the potential for everything that is.
Wow.
And when we look at it that way, we don't have to villainize darkness. We can understand that even demonic entities can show us what wound in us needs healing because they wouldn't have access to us if we didn't have some kind of fear or some kind of guilt or some kind of shame.
Right.
So it's all used for our good, but it's just when we let it take control, that's when the darkness is bad. So I don't look at the draconians as the worst beings, you know, in the entire existence. I think that they're here to teach us a lesson. And while I can't condone their behavior and I will actively fight against it, just like I would, you know, Lucifer or Satan or whatever,
right.
I do understand why it exists and I can appreciate and be grateful for the lessons that come from that.
Gotcha. Because, you know, when I'm thinking about like demons, to me, that's so biblical, but it's a good way to categorize them because everybody understands that. But I don't know if I believe that there are actual demons. I think it's more like negative frequencies.
Yes, for the most part. I will say what we call quote unquote demons, they have a very significant energetic signature. So I pick everything up energetically.
Mm-hmm.
And in the darkness, there's a lot of different beings. And demon is a term that we humans made up. I'm not even sure that the story of fallen angels is exactly what happened. There's a chance that it could be draconians that are here on Earth, you know?
Yeah.
it's just the lower level forces that are battling the higher forces. That's how I view it.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid of them anymore. I see them kind of as like wing creatures, and that's about it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would freak me out a little bit. You know, I don't have that gift of seeing. I have more of a gift of hearing and communicating that way. So clear cognizance. But also, when you're in the Akashic Records, tell me about that. Like, did you just stumble upon it and go, what the hell is going on? I mean,
yeah. So I always have channeled, and I just get like understandings out of nowhere. And I didn't know where it was coming from. I figured it was probably coming from guides. You know, I don't really ask questions when I'm psychic channeling. Now, if I'm doing mediumship, I want to know who I'm talking to. But when it's psychic channeling, it's usually just kind of like the higher frequencies telling me what I need to know. So I always knew that I was grabbing information from somewhere. And then I did a soul contract analysis on my name. Apparently we pick our names and it ties into our gifts and our karma and our purpose. Okay. And there's a way to decode it. And so I did this reading with a girl and I found out that my destiny was to work with the Akashic Records. And I was like, whoa, what?
What is that?
And yeah. And so I started researching the Akashic Records and I was like, wait a minute. That's basically what I'm doing. And so I channeled and I asked God, how can I be more intentional about this?
Yeah.
And I got a prayer from him to pray before I go into the Akashic Records. And so I did it one day. And as soon as I finished it, I saw this like library. It was almost like the library was folded together like a book. And when I said, and the records are now open, it went whoosh and like opened up like a book. And I was like, whoa. And so like I would walk down through the aisles and kind of just look around a little bit. And then I started testing questions. I was like, okay, what is the name and the logo of my successful podcast? Because I had heard that you can ask for things like that, which yeah. I have my own podcast coming soon. But anyway, so I asked that and I saw it in my head instantly. And within 5 minutes, I had gone into Canva and created the logo with the title. And it was something that I had been looking for my whole life. Like, it was so crazy.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And then I just started like exploring how, like, what other things can I ask? And I realized I could look at people at a soul level so I can see, like, you know, if they're an angelic, what they look like, if they're a starseed, what they look like, if they've had fey lives, like a fairy, I can see that. Most people have spiritual tools that they have no idea that they carry, but they're stored in the etheric realm that we were talking about earlier. So I've seen people with these gigantic swords. I've seen people with whips that glow golden. And it's been absolutely fascinating just getting to see who all these people are and what they do. Like, they don't even realize they're doing half this stuff. It's at a soul level and they can bring it more consciously into their reality, but until they're aware of it, they don't even know how to do that. So,
wow. I see. I never heard that. I've never heard that we have like extra things that we could be without even knowing it. So, wow. Okay. I'll have to ask you what mine is. I don't even know what mine is. But my thing is with me, like you were talking about when people have trauma, they have soul fragments with that trauma. And, you know, I had some trauma when I was younger. I told you about my dad. And I think I pulled back that soul fragment back to me after I had that conversation with my dad, because I said, it was almost like I said, go do some Reiki, go heal that inner child or whatever. And I feel like that's what I did.
Yes. Yes. So you can retrieve your own soul fragments if you're aware that it's missing or how it's missing. And it's a huge part. I mean, the soul fragments off to protect itself. When we go through trauma, sometimes our physical body can't handle it. It's overloaded, especially if you're a child.
Yes.
You know, you're just exposed to everything. And so a piece of your soul will kind of fragment off. And the way that I see it is it's almost like they're suspended in jars. So it'll be like a memory that's replaying over and over and over, sitting in a jar on a shelf. And you have to kind of go in, or somebody who's retrieving the soul fragment has to go in. They've got to figure out where in the body it was, what the moment was that made it fragment. And then you have to go and kind of coax that fragment to come back. You have to convince it that it's safe to return to the body. And sometimes you have to do battle with an entity because they will be holding it hostage. So you never really know what the retrieval is going to go like. But most of mine, I walk people through like these visualizations of what I'm seeing, because everything I do is very visual. And it's usually about them kind of working with me to make it a safe space for that fragment to return. And then once it comes back, they feel like a flood of emotions or relief or everything just starts shifting. And sometimes it can bring up a lot of emotions for a while, you know, but it's always worth it. Because if you lose too many soul fragments, then your essence gets really depleted. And that's kind of when you die sometimes. You can pass away if you've lost too many.
When you said they're kind of playing over and over. It almost reminds me of maybe that's what a residual ghost is.
Yeah, it could be very well and trapped in the astral realm. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, they don't really know they're gone, but they don't know anything but that little reality that they keep playing over and over. So having someone have to go get it, like the Gettysburg people, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It was so traumatic that their soul shattered when it passed away. And it got stuck in the astral realm. That's a fascinating, I love that.
Yeah, well, you know, because I think about this kind of stuff, because I think ghosts aren't just one dimensional in the way of how they work. Because I think sometimes, you know, we're ghosts to someone else because they're stepping into maybe our little realm and we're stepping into theirs. And it's just a time slip there. And then all of a sudden we got a ghost on our hands and we can do it. I don't know if that's exactly how it works, but I think sometimes like the others, like the movie, The Others, yes. You know, like she's their ghost, they're her ghosts. And then also I think sometimes like my dad, you know, I don't think he was a ghost, but I think that because he was so low frequency, he was still tethered here because his ego was still here. Because up there, we don't have egos.
Mm-hmm. It's tricky, too, because I've met a lot of souls that they've passed. And if they don't go back over to source and get sorted and go through their life review, there's a couple different places they can hang out. There's the astral, there's the underworld, there's a couple different realms that they can just chill in before they have to cross. And there's always a way to cross. They're never stuck. Right. But a lot of them will pretend when they come through to me, they'll pretend that they were really good people. And this is only the ones that haven't crossed over, but they'll pretend like they're really good people. And I'll be like, you know, this, it seems like you guys had a decent relationship. And the person's looking at me like, no. Yeah. And so I'll kind of push a little harder. And then it's like their little mask breaks and I see who they actually were. And I was like, you little, you know, because it's like, they don't want to face what they did. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, think about it, you know, like what my dad did, he knew what he did. He knew it for a very long time what he did, never apologized, never got in trouble for it, none of that. That was before, that was just sweep everything under the rug kind of time when it happened to us, you know, there's no, none of that. So, you know, when he finally did go, he's probably like, holy crap, what have I done? You know, and I don't want to face anything and whatever it was. And we didn't have that conversation. I just said, go back and heal those kids you had and let's talk again. And when we did, he said, I'm going to absorb back into the light. That's what I'm going to do. And he did. Because I've heard near-death experiencers say they were like sloughing off earth from me. They were like taking the whatever it was, you know, it was like it was not good. It was not a good energy to come into the heavenly realm. You know, it wasn't good for the heavenly realm. They had to like clean me off before I could actually go into it.
Yeah, because I mean, speaking energetically, you've got frequencies that are attached to you and probably parasites and things like that that are dragging down your frequency. And you can't exist in a high frequency if you have low frequency tethers.
Exactly, because you still have your ego and nobody has their ego up there. Because, you know, I tell my mom, I'm like, hey, mom, I'm talking about some of the things we went through and some of the things we did. And it's not always really good. And she's like, honey, it's your story. It's your truth. You tell it. I'm not the same kind of person. Yes, I have my same personality, but I don't feel that way. There's no judgment. There's unconditional love. I conditionally loved you when you were here.
Wow.
So, and I was just like blown away because I'm just like, I can't believe I'm talking to my mom and she's amazing now. We have a great relationship. I even said, Mom, I know this is probably not typical, but can you be one of my guides? And she goes, if you want me to, anything's possible. Of course I can.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, and everybody knows about me going to the Healing Temple with my mom, my dad now, anybody that I've lost, my guides, my ancestors, my angels, whoever wants to come, let's do it, you know? So, and I do it and it's fun. And it's just, but you know, how I know it works is someone said, and this is just on the earth plane, they said they took a bunch of baseball players and five of them, they said, go practice and get really high batting average. And five of you that aren't going to go to the batting cage, I want you to just imagine it. And I want you guys to do it for 2 weeks. And we're going to compare when you come back. And in 2 weeks, the people that imagined being better batters just from imagination were as good, if not better, than the people that actually physically did it.
Wow.
And it's placebo effect, maybe. I don't know. All I know is I know if I envision it, just like with you. You see the Akashic Records. This is real to you. This is not just something we're making up, and it's proven to work. So why wouldn't you do everything you can to heal yourself or to make yourself feel better when you're down or whatever it is? That's barring if you have a significant, you know, depression or whatever it is, right? You know, I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about just people that maybe don't have to be medicated and they're down about something or sad or whatever, because, you know, you can make yourself sick. People can die of, people can die of a broken heart. That is actually a thing. Or, you know, if you are strong enough, if you can pick yourself up and do something about it, and, you know, look at you. You got out of a not a great marriage, and then you're like, wait a minute, what can I do to help myself? Wow, I'm going to open this up. I'm going to talk to God about it. He's going to help me. And look where you are now.
Right. Well, and this is exactly what happened to me. So I mentioned earlier, I was diagnosed with severe bipolar disorder. Yes. And I want to preface this by saying I do not condone coming off of your medications without supervision from a psychiatrist. I do not condone, you know, I believe science and spirituality go hand in hand. I think that science is a gift from God to us and we can utilize it. However, I was able to work through my trauma and my emotional wounds over like a 3-year period. God was delivering to me the steps that I needed to take to be able to heal myself. And I'm now no longer symptomatic with bipolar disorder. I've been completely stable since 2021. I actually have also healed my eyesight. I used to have to wear glasses to be able to see, and I no longer wear glasses. So this is entirely possible that when we remove the wounding and the trauma from our bodies, it starts to heal, not just our physical, but our mental and our emotional bodies as well. And this is also timeline stuff. So the reason those baseball players were able to do as well, just from visualizing, is because the world doesn't work on the physical scale. It works on intention. So when they were visualizing becoming better at baseball, they were jumping timelines to where they were better at baseball. Mm-hmm. They were embodying that energy, that visualization. So that's why that works. If you believe that you can reach a timeline where you have a healed whole body, theoretically, it's possible. It's just a matter of how much can you allow it to work for you.
I love your answer to that, because it really truly is just thinking outside the box. You know, I'm all about go to your church if that brings you joy and if that brings you a soul level of joy. Absolutely do the things. I'm more spiritual. I mean, I believe in source. I think Jesus walked the earth. I don't think Jesus wanted to be worshipped. I think he just wanted you to think the way he thought, you know, but that's just my personal belief. But what I like to do with this podcast is spread awareness that, guys, don't be tethered to one specific thing. Try to keep an open box when it comes to anything having to do with the physical or the spiritual. Try your best to just think about, okay, how is this affecting me? What am I going to do about it? How can I learn from it? How can I evolve my soul? Because when you're up there, and this is just what I know from near-death experiencers, they say, when you're up there, why would you ever want to come to earth? And why would you ever want to say, I want to die of cancer, or I want to die of, you know, drowning, or I want to lose a child, or I want to have an absent parent? And a lot of people do choose those lives, I believe, because they want the contrast. They want to understand. They're learning for source. This is how Leslie felt when this happened. This is how Kayla felt when this happened to her. And then you gain that knowledge. And guess what? You become a guide maybe on the other side because you've had those experiences.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, people come here to experience. They come here to learn. Some people, a lot of people I've met, have come here not for themselves, but to help humanity as a whole, to anchor in this new consciousness to the earth, to open the eyes of the world. And right now is a huge pivotal time in our world and everything that's happening. There's so much weird stuff going on. There's so much dark stuff going on. And that means that a lot of us really high vibrational people have come in and we've chosen to incarnate at this time to really bring in that shift. And what we're trying to do is take that fifth dimensional consciousness that we were talking about earlier, that awakened consciousness that, you know, aligns with Christ, and anchor it into the earth. And I don't say that from a religious perspective. It's the way that Jesus was, how he loved people unconditionally.
Absolutely. And I totally agree. And if we could just get to that, you know, if you go to church and you're learning about Jesus, you already have the answers. The answers are right there in the book, everything that's written in red. And my whole thing is, you know, somebody wrote that Bible, you know, lots of different people wrote it. I think mostly Paul. But my thing is, you know, we're getting one perspective. Guys, just open that box. Keep the box open. Kayla, you've been amazing. Tell everybody the kind of services you have if somebody wants to look at your website and sign up for things.
Yeah, so I'm an intuitive reader. I do, you know, personal life guidance readings as well as Akashic Records readings as well as mediumship. I offer energy healing that goes really deep into your body and kind of helps you purge everything that's gunked up in there. Yeah. And I'm also a self-healing coach. I walk you through the exact stuff that I went through to heal my own bipolar disorder and my eyesight. So you can find me on celestialspiritualconsulting.com. I'm Celestial SLC on TikTok and Instagram. And I'm under Kayla Allen on Facebook.
Wow, amazing. And I know you're going to have a podcast soon. So guys, keep an eye open for that. I'm going to add all of her information on my show notes. Kayla, you have been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Leslie. It's been a pleasure.
Well, I love providing Because I Want to Know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.